This is SigilCast, and my name is Nate Fowler with the Sigil Social Foundation, and I'm here with
Jay Williams from Rapid Empowerment International.
And today we're going to talk about the unconscious and conscious minds, sometimes called the subconscious and conscious minds.
Or the other than conscious.
Other than conscious. Exactly. We won't be talking about higher consciousness, but we'll talk about some things related to that.
That's for a whole other website.
That's right. So, what is the unconscious mind? The unconscious mind, first we need to know what the conscious mind is.
All right. What's the conscious mind?
The conscious mind is the part of us that's always talking. The conscious mind is the part of us that's always telling us what we need to do that day. Okay, I need eggs. I need to go shopping. I need to get laundry. I need to do my homework.
You reminded me.
I need to do all these things. Or did you forget your keys? Did you remember your cell phone? Did you... All the things that we do as a list, as a checklist, or just as normal day-to-day how we think is our conscious mind. It's the part of us that's processing with a minimal amount of information coming in, but it allows it to process as quickly as it possibly can with the limited amount of information that it has.
Right. That part that has reason and logic built in.
Correct.
That part that has the baloney detector built in.
That's right.
The part and that can tell when something's not quite right.
Right. And when something is okay to be not quite right.
That's right.
It gets to make that decision. So if you go to see a movie, you set aside your conscious mind for the most part. You set aside, you let go of that critical baloney factor. And you have that ability to judge the movie as you want to, as you decide to.
Because you're willing to suspend your disbelief.
Right.
Which lives in the conscious mind.
Right. The conscious mind also has things that it can't do.
Yes.
Which includes a lot of things. So if we were to talk about the conscious mind in terms of neuroscience, there is a wonderful video on the internet by Jill Bolte Taylor. So if you go on YouTube and look her up, you can actually, or on Sigil Social, you'll see a link to the video. You'll see a link to the video, and the video will show you how she experienced each side of her brain, the different sides of the brain, and how it affected how she felt. And the conscious and the unconscious mind, while they may be constructs that we use to explain different aspects of how the mind works, the physical sides of the brain are also something that people have an understanding of how they work. So, for example, the left side of the brain acts, for the most part, as the conscious mind does. It allows it to store information, store memories, store all of these things, but it doesn't have access to them because it doesn't know how to. So it stores, but it cannot access, because it cannot access in the moment. Whereas the right side of the brain can access all things all the time, in the moment, right at that time. And it accesses and feels emotions, it feels connection, it feels all the different things that we experience from day to day, whereas the unconscious mind, as we're going to talk about, has a completely different understanding of how we experience things. For example, the unconscious mind is the part of us that in hypnosis we consider stores memories. So if you were to consider the unconscious mind as the part that stores memories, it also stores emotions, it has access to emotions, and it has the ability to experience things all at once without being censored. So there is no delete, distort, and generalize in the unconscious mind.
Simultaneous processing.
It processes it completely simultaneously.
Yes.
In neuroscience, they call that serial processing.
Yes. But not like Cheerios or anything.
That's right.
Yes. Just all at the same time.
That's
right.
In neuroscience, they consider the right part of the brain as the serial processor. In neuroscience, they consider the left part of the brain as the parallel processor. The parallel processor works in tandem. It works also with. It doesn't have to be. It's not part of the required process. It just works with. So when we have, for example, in hypnosis, we work with our conscious mind all the time. We're constantly using our conscious mind to make decisions. And sometimes those decisions are trying to undo what the unconscious mind is trying to do. So, for example, if someone is a smoker, they will be in a place where they want to quit smoking sometimes, and they will try and try and try to quit smoking. And when they try to quit smoking, they're using their conscious mind.
They're making a decision to try to quit smoking.
Right.
Decisions are in the conscious mind.
Yes. The logic of the decision is in the conscious mind. They have a reason why, and that reason has to be something that fills all of their criteria to be accepted.
That's right.
If it's an unconscious decision, a part of them that says, I'm just not a smoker, I don't smoke, they don't even have to think about it because their conscious mind is the part that they would think about it with. The unconscious mind just does.
It's where habits live.
Yes. It acts, it behaves, it moves as quickly as it possibly can.
Faster than the conscious process.
Absolutely. In fact, it's so powerful that it can do this because it's moving, it's taking in all the 2 billion pieces of information, 2 million pieces of information, not billion. 2 million pieces of information per second it's taking in. So if it has the ability to take all of that in and process it and feel it and experience it before it even gets thought about consciously, that's the power that it has to be able to deal with things, to process, to know, to feel.
That's right. And that place in between, that little time frame in between where the unconscious mind experiences and the conscious mind catches up is where something called preconscious process lives. And preconscious process is a place that we love to work with in NLP and hypnosis because that's the part that even if you're consciously aware of what's coming next, it works anyway.
Yes.
That's what makes NLP so powerful because it's a shortcut. Neuro-linguistic program is a shortcut into the preconscious process of the brain.
We should probably explain what NLP stands for and what it means.
We could probably do that briefly. Yes. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming.
Yes.
And it's a phrase coined by a couple of guys back in the 70s in Northern California. There's a whole different set of stories around that.
Yes.
That
yes.
you're free to explore.
Yes. NLP has its own interesting background and storied background, if you will. And that's actually, it may even be on purpose, just because of the way those two people who created the process act and behave and move through life. The idea behind NLP is that you can use a series of processes or behaviors or techniques that will allow you to change the behavior in someone else. And that behavior is something they want, of course.
Sure. And really, there's probably as many definitions for NLP as there are people who practice it.
Yes.
And therefore, we could extend this into a really long conversation. But for sake of keeping it simple, the way that I like to refer to NLP is like a catalog. See, NLP just catalogs processes that we've been doing linguistically for ever since language began, really. We label our experience through our language, and when we do that, we create boundaries inside of our neurology based on the labels that we use. It's not really the experience, kind of like the difference between a road map and an actual city. You can have a road map of California. It doesn't look anything like California.
Right.
In the same way, the language that you use, the words you use to describe an experience, has nothing really to do with the experience itself. It's just simply a way to gauge the experience, if you will. And so NLP is kind of a catalog of how language works and how specific words react in the neurology and how they can change the filtering system and make it work better or make it work more efficiently.
Right.
Because most of the programming that's been done in the mind is done accidentally. And so NLP efforts to put those techniques into play purposefully and with volition so we can actually affect change very, very quickly.
To give you an example of how that would work, if you take someone who has actually completed something, if they were able to get over something, so that
like
they
a phobia, for example.
A phobia, a fear. If they were able to eliminate a fear from their life, how did they do that? There are people who have successfully eliminated a fear,
right.
Just
all by themselves.
All by themselves.
Just like people who quit smoking, all by themselves.
All by themselves. So in order to understand how they did it, they would study those people. They would learn how they'd done it.
Right, through a process called modeling.
So they would take that process and they would learn how they'd done it, and they would apply it to people who hadn't done it yet.
Right, and make the process that much quicker. Because what they learned through modeling is, if you can model someone's success and duplicate that success by teaching it to someone else, they could also experience similar success.
So back to our original topic, the reason why modeling is so important is it allows us to take something that's conscious, or unconscious, rather. You take something that's unconscious and apply it consciously.
Right.
Until it becomes an unconscious act.
Right, because the habits and the beliefs and learning take place in the unconscious mind, or yep, other than conscious mind.
Absolutely.
Subconscious mind. Whichever you'd like to use. They're all interchangeable for the course of this discussion.
That's right. I prefer unconscious. It really doesn't matter which one you use, because they're all the same. So yes, you'll hear people use all sorts of different terms for it. The one term that stands out from its own is higher consciousness, which tends to be the sudden knowing of information, which is something that we won't get into, but it is something that is out there. So if you do experience it, that is what they usually term that phrase for. Yeah. The sudden knowing of information. Doesn't mean that it came from anywhere but inside, as much as it just happened.
But we're not going to talk about that. Haven't we?
Yeah.
That's right. All right, so going back to the conscious mind for a minute, let's talk about what the conscious mind's... Well, first of all, let's talk about the ratio of how much of the conscious mind is available and versus the unconscious mind. It's rumored that we only use 10% of our brain. Well, I have good news and bad news. The good news is, I think it's much, much less than that. The bad news is, I think it's much less than that. In reality, it's only a little less than a half of 1/10 of 1%. Is that right? 0.0004, if memory serves.
Okay.
Percent. Is actually relegated to conscious process. The rest, over 99.9%, is actually unconscious. And the stuff that lives in the unconscious is all your storage, all your emotions, and all that fun stuff. So why do we even need the conscious mind?
We need it to make decisions.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We need it to set goals.
Set goals, make decisions, discern information. That's the logic part. And it's very, very good at doing what it does. So when you need to make a decision, your conscious mind comes to play and makes the decision. If you're having trouble making decisions, there's a conscious process problem.
Yep.
Or maybe you're waiting for the unconscious to take over.
Maybe you're waiting for information from the unconscious.
That's right.
Sometimes you're waiting for information to connect. So if you have a picture and you want to, or like, let's say somebody's face. If you're looking at somebody's face and you're trying to remember their name, you're waiting for the information to connect so you can make the decision of, what am I going to say next to this person, and do I know their name?
That's right. So let's talk about goal setting for a second. So the conscious mind is like the decision maker. So it's the goal setter. And the unconscious mind is the part that leads one towards the goal. See, there's so much vast processing power in the unconscious mind that we're not aware of consciously. The conscious part likes to think it's in charge.
Right.
In fact, some people refer to the conscious mind as a captain on a ship. And the crew of the ship would be like the unconscious mind. The captain kind of sets the course, says, hey, this is our destination. Here's where we're going to go. And the crew goes, okay, we're going to go there. And they adjust the controls of the ship and the engines and or sails or whichever in order to get them from point A to point B, which the captain identifies. So if the unconscious mind is the crew or the goal getter, the conscious mind is the captain or the decision maker or the goal setter. I notice that some people have challenges with getting the goals because they want to figure out the whole process. The conscious mind wants to have the whole process figured out before they begin. And I notice that some of us, the longer experience that we've had in this life dance, we tend to lean on that process a little more because maybe we've made some mistakes in the past maybe some things didn't work out according to our plan or our hoped for outcome before. So now it's like a little bit more tentative in setting forth on the decision that we made. So what we need to do is actually put the conscious mind back to its position as captain and let the unconscious mind just be the crew and provide the how to get to the goal.
A good example of this would be when you stand up from a chair, or if you decide to go for a walk, the first thing you decide to do is to go for a walk, and you start walking. Now, all of the things that happened in order for that to actually happen, for you to move your muscles in your legs, to move yourself to a standing position,
to blood, the blood flow in the veins, the heart pumping, the lungs breathing.
Yes, all the extra information that needs to happen in order for this decision to take effect is all the unconscious mind. Every physical action that we do takes all of those efforts, and we just say, oh, I want to do this, and we do it. That doing it part is the unconscious mind.
That's right.
The decision maker is the one who said, let's do it.
That's right.
So if we were to be going back to your original point of the running into goal setting issues, if we were to be conflicted with the crew, for example, we're the captain and the crew is conflicted.
Arr!
If we're conflicting with the crew and we're making it so that we can't get that decision to be made because
the captain's got to sleep sometime. And we know where he sleeps.
That's right. And we're constantly fighting with the crew. And that just stops. It stops all activity.
Yeah. It's called mutiny.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Not a technical term.
But it's close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah. Metaphorically speaking.
Metaphorically speaking, yes. So we have all these things that we're putting together in our mind in order to actually get anything done. So when we get stuck, when we get stuck on anything, that stuckness is us conflicting with something inside of ourselves.
Right. Conflict in the unconscious or conscious levels. Or maybe conflict within the unconscious level somewhere.
Right.
Which we'll talk about in another podcast, values and things like that that can be conflicted.
Sure, yeah. That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait. All right. So we have the... if you have the conflict and you're trying to deal with the conflict, what is your conflict? What is the thing...
Why are you looking at me?
Look at them. Exactly. What is the one thing that stops you from getting what you want done? What is the one thing that you know that you would love to be able to do, but you just can't do it? Mm. Sometimes we all have this one thing that we need.
That's right.
This one thing that we want to change in our life. And if we knew how to do it because we want to do it, and we knew how to do it because we already know how to do it, we just haven't done it yet.
Right. We would have already done it.
Right. So what is that one thing? If you think about that one thing and make it so that you know exactly what it is that you're doing with that one thing, why haven't you done anything about it? Why haven't you done anything about that one thing? You're not being lazy.
Well, what if you make a decision to change it and it doesn't change?
Right.
I mean, that happens to all of us, right?
Right.
Every January 1st, for example, make New Year's resolutions.
Revolutions.
That's revolutions is the spinning part right before it goes down the drain, right?
Exactly.
Because usually the New Year's resolution lasts for, what, maybe...
24 hours.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a good day.
Uh-huh.
Downhill.
Yeah.
Right? Gym membership, that's what keeps, you know, the gyms in business. Mm-hmm. It's January 1st, right? That week after Christmas. Oh my goodness. Time to go to the gym.
Exactly.
January 1st comes. That's it. I made a decision. Now I'm going to go to the gym and work out.
Yep.
2 weeks later, we're figuring out we signed a contract for 2 years. And we're going, uh-oh, this could be a problem.
Exactly.
Because the mind wasn't aligned. The conscious mind wasn't aligned with the unconscious values. So,
So if we have that decision and we're stuck with it. And we're trying to get to that point where we're aligned.
Right. The captain says, go to the gym. And the crew says, I don't think so.
And it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean anything except that your crew says, I don't think so. And that really is something.
You really need to use a pirate voice for that.
Oh, I don't think so.
There you go.
And it doesn't really mean anything. I can't believe I just did that.
Get it.
It really doesn't mean anything other than something is stuck. What's stuck? And that's the thing that's interesting to hypnotists and NLP practitioners.
That's right.
Because that stuckness, most people will find that it actually has nothing to do with what they're actually trying to do.
It's just a misalignment somewhere.
Yep.
So the problem is that most people stay stuck because they don't know how to readjust their alignment. And NLP and hypnosis gives us some tools. They're just simply tools that we can align things with, just like aligning the tires on your car.
Yep.
You park it on the rack, take a look at the lasers, turn a few knobs, push a few buttons. Suddenly, your tires aren't wearing out anymore.
Yep.
That was kind of a loose metaphor, whatever.
Well, now it's a tight metaphor because they're aligned.
That's right. It's an aligned metaphor.
Yeah. So if you have that alignment, if you have that ability to make it so that you can get to where you want to go simply because you know a few techniques, that makes it possible for you to remove any and all barriers.
Right.
You all of a sudden can accomplish millions of things.
Anything you want.
And then the biggest question is, what do you really want to accomplish?
There you go. You can see through new eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you really want to accomplish? Now that you have no barriers, what would that feel like? What would that feel like to actually have anything you want to accomplish?
That'd feel pretty good. So when would now be a good time for you to get more information about that?
Exactly.
At
sigilsocial.org and
rapidempowerment.com.
Fantastic.
This has been Sigilcast. Enjoy. We'll see you next time.
That's right.